sought me, and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me beneath the cleansing blood.
Precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory.
Oh yes, there's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me. Yes, sir. Aren't you glad there's victory in Jesus this morning? Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? How many of you appreciate the word of the Lord? Oh, isn't God good to us? Just gives us spiritual food in due season. Praise the Lord. Well, we're here again this morning, and we're so glad that you have come to the house of the Lord. You are the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. Praise Team. Look at each other and say, let's praise Him this morning. Let's just praise Him this morning. How many of you know He's worthy of all the praise, all the honor, all the glory? Let's give Him a good hand clap of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we're noted to be the hand clappingest church in the country. But that's something every one of you can do. Even Greg can clap. Can't you, Brother Greg? Praise the Lord. Everybody can clap their hands and give our Lord Jesus Christ the praise that He is due. Are you glad you're a Christian this morning? Somebody say glory. Somebody say glory. Let's give Him one more good hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. God bless you. We'll let you be seated for just a little bit while we look at our prayer request this morning. Let's look to see what the Lord has for us to remember today. First of all, we want to let you know that Violet Phillips, that's Jackie Phillips' wife, she passed away sometime this morning. And we certainly want to pray for Jackie Phillips, Brother Pinky, Brother Jerry, that's their sister-in-law. So let's just pray that God would help the Phillips family as they go through this time. That the Lord would just be mindful of them and show him show that family His love and mercy. I believe He's wanting to do that this morning, don't you? So let's pray for that family as we pray today. Dear saints of God, just a note to tell you that I'm still recovering from brain surgery. A tough road, but I'm grateful that my Lord Jesus has been mindful of me. He is my strength, and I know that with His stripes I'm healed. Please continue to pray that my healing will be manifested. Charlie, you are truly an inspiration. God bless each of you. Loving Christ, Peggy Larson from Wisconsin. Let's remember our sister. Brother Charlie, you reached out and touched somebody by your testimony. God's able to let your life touch another life. You believe that this morning? Praise the Lord. I want to remember Lori. Her cancer has returned. She started treatment on Thursday for 6 weeks. This is Sister Lisa Davis's sister, so we want to remember that that lady in prayer, that the Lord would just be mindful of her. Sister Lisa, as they are concerned about that, I'm sure, so let's remember them. Brother Keith Phillips says, thank all of you for praying for my son. He is on the mend and doing much better, so we want to praise the Lord for that this morning. Sister Brenda Harmon says, I just want to tell the church how much I love and appreciate every one of you. Also, Sister Donna Pistole is not feeling well today, so we want to remember her in prayer. Brother Baker says, I want to make this confession. In 2006, I lost vision in my right eye. I confess today that I am healed. I believe that God will move upon this confession. Praise be to God. So we just believe with Brother Baker that all is going to be well. I want to pray for Brother Jerry Glenn, who will be having surgery on Wednesday at the VA hospital. Going to be in the hospital maybe up to 5 days. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Jerry that the Lord would just be mindful of his surgery and be with him and be with the doctor as they do the surgery. I want to pray for Sister Anna Shipley, who is not feeling well, very weak this morning. So let's remember that. Brother Carter Lawson says to please keep my nephew Scotty in your prayers. He had surgery and is having pain and complications. May God bless all of you. So we want to remember these needs this morning. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need this morning you'd like for this group to pray about, could we stand together? Let's sing that little chorus again, if you will, Victory in Jesus, as Brother Daniel gets ready this morning. If you'll come onto the platform, be getting ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me in glory.
Amen. Good to be back in church again this morning. Amen. Wonderful service we had last night. I would take a little note here. A story I hear about a place over in England where this couple was all the time arguing, fighting among themselves. But the only thing everybody in the town knew when they was arguing. And one day they just stopped arguing. And nobody could figure out what happened. So finally a woman went to the woman and asked her what took place. And she said, there was two bears that did. And the woman said, two bears? Yes, she said, two bears which were found in the Bible. Bear ye one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2, and forbearing one another in love, Colossians 4:2. You know, we'll just apply the scriptures to our problems. You'll be surprised how quick they'll disappear. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's for healing, if it's for problems in the family, whatever it might be, just apply the scripture and trust in God. Let's pray for these needs this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to be in your house. We thank you, God, for letting us live in this day. Even though, God, we know it's an evil time, we have never saw so many revelations that's been brought forth to us in this hour. God, we thank you for it. God, we thank you for these people. Well, God, we believe that this congregation, these people, are your chosen people for this day. Heavenly Father, we now bring our prayer requests before your throne. God, we hold them up before you, knowing, God, that we can't heal people. We can't save them. But, Lord, you are the healer, and you are the savior. And, God, we place them in your hands this morning. God, we pray that you'll just go forth to the people, wherever they may be, over the internet, in different countries. God, we pray that you'll move by your spirit. We pray for our pastor this morning, God, that you'll anoint him. Heavenly Father, that he'll just touch some soul out there, that they'll be saved before it's ever rising too late. God, we commit this service into your hands. And we pray for the death, God, the lost loved one. God, that you'll be with that family and that you'll watch over them. Fill that empty spot in their heart. God, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
This time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here in the service with us today, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. And those that are streaming, we just pray that this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Could we say, God bless our streamers? God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand, if you would, this morning. Amen. I believe it's the consensus of every one of us. We've never been this homesick before. You know, I was telling somebody yesterday, you leave and you go somewhere, but you're always so glad to get back home. But I guess, Brother Terry, we were talking about that. You're just always glad to get back home. Well, I believe that has, Brother Terry mentioned it, that has a spiritual application too. I've never been this homesick before. We're going back home. Are you glad about it this morning? And if we come to have church, notify somebody around you. Tell them to wake up. We're fixing to have church. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning.
There's a light in the window. The table's spread. Standing by an open door.
Amen.
I can see crystal river. Lord, I must be near forever, 'cause I've never been this homesick before.
Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about
gathering, sweet faces look familiar. Oh, but no one's old or feeble anymore. Lord, my lonesome heart is crying. I feel like spreading my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this homesick before.
Cindy, if you come on to the platform, get ready to sing for us this morning. Let's sing a little bit of this song this morning. I'm rich. You didn't know that, did you? I'm rich. I just wanted to let you know I'm rich. Don't hit me up for a loan. It's not that kind of wealth I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving from the mattress over in glory, for I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion over in glory, for I'm a rightful heir.
My father owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I believe I own at least one. I stand amazed when I see his face, knowing that I'm his son.
Well, I'm rich in faith, I hope and love. I got more than my share.
A guardian angel watching me, he's with me everywhere. When I need my father in heaven above, I breathe just a simple prayer.
I'm rich in faith, hope and love.
Hope and love.
Singers, a nice hand as you're seated this morning. God bless you.
Holy, holy. filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name.
Jesus, your name is power.
Isn't he wonderful? You know, I was thinking of the scripture this morning. They try to keep him from praising Jesus. He said, if these hold their peace, the rocks will cry out.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let a rock cry out for me.
Right.
Like it or not, I'm going to praise him with all that I have and all that is within me. If I hold back, then I'm just a hypocrite. I want to be what I am in Christ. We sung this last night. Help me sing it again. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. He is my King. What a beautiful name it is. There's nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without me. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring of your glory, for you have raised to life again. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ.
my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
What a beautiful name it is. The
your name, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't you just love that wonderful name today? I know some of you were shocked last night whenever I mentioned that there are some of these poor message people that don't worship Jesus no more. It's almost more than our minds can comprehend. We've never thought in this great message, which was brought back to the truth, that there would be such heresy and lies. It's just a lack of understanding and revelation. I love the name of Jesus. Oh, you say you're simple. Call me a Thomas, if you will. Thomas bowed down before him and said, "My Lord and my God." Amen. He's not no second person of the Godhead or the third person. He is the person of the Godhead. We still love him around here. As long as I'm going to be here as the pastor, we're going to praise him. We're going to magnify him. We're going to exalt him and lift him higher than the heavens. I find it strange. I just heard Brother Branham say it this week, that God exalted him so high and gave him such a name that everything in heaven is called by his name. Man made him so low on the earth, and the lowest man in the city had to look down on him, Zacchaeus in the tree. But he said when God raised him up, he has to look down to be able to even see heaven and the angels. That's the way I believe it. Amen. God bless you. Let's turn today, if you would, to the Song of Solomon. Again, chapter 4, verse 12. Both God and Satan know the power of words, the power of being able to persuade and being able to convince by visual things and also verbal things. Solomon, of course, knew this as well. I don't believe that Solomon was actually fabricating this that he's going to tell us today, but I believe he saw it in this Shulamite. He says, "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed, thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, campfire with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all chief spices, a fountain of gardens, peculiar statement, a fountain of gardens." So it's a fountain with many gardens that comes out of it. "A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters," as in plural, "and streams from Lebanon." Now, she is so overwhelmed and so convinced that what he has told her, this is her response back. "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out." Notice the direction she wants it to go toward now. "That the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you so much today. Thank you, our loving Heavenly Father, for being so mindful of us in this hour of darkness and trouble. We truly are in a wedding night, Lord, and as well as
any other time of natural, even looking at it in the earth, when darkness strikes the earth and nighttime comes around, things become more scary. A noise that we would hear during the day seems to be magnified during the night. The unseen is always more difficult to deal with. So I pray that you'd help us in our wedding night, Lord, as we are facing the greatest darkness that the world has ever known. May the light of God shine in our hearts, we pray today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Truly, there is a great parallel between what was going on here in the Song of Solomon and where we are today, being quite different, of course, as we mentioned last night, that with her and him, they were in the bridal chamber, and basically the outside noises, all the people around them on the outside were totally away from them, and they were enjoying each other's presence. They were being caught up by each other, the attributes that they'd so fallen in love with. But yet, no doubt at the same time, there was all types of revelry and all types of things that was going on the outside. Same it is today for those that are in Christ Jesus, sealed with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, our soul sealed in the presence of God. The world is shut out in our soul, but certainly not in our flesh. And in the spirit realm, we are naturally affected by those things which are around us. Satan learned it many, 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 many years ago by watching God and also seeing the first human beings that were placed upon the earth, that humans have the potential of being greatly affected by those things which are without and different from themselves. They can be affected by words. They can be affected by mannerisms. They can be affected by behavior. They can be affected, even before there was television, they could be affected by visual effects and things around them. We know that in the Garden of Eden, there was no TV, there was no radio, no newspaper, no Facebook, no cell phones, any of that sort of thing. But yet, still, Eve was affected by something that was apart from herself. And it was something that was able to create a question in her mind about the validity of God's word and about if God was honest and just or not. To see if God was really true and to see if God was just by keeping them away from something that this other being was telling them that they should really partake of and should be able to enjoy. Satan found it out then. Remember, that's his first battle with a human being. He'd fought with angels, but he never fought with humans before, so he didn't really know how to do it. So it's as if though he's learning it as he goes. Now, we know, of course, in this day that we live, our mind, our spirit is under a constant onslaught of things every day that we live, whether by social media, whether by programs, whether by music, whether by videos, whatever it is, newspaper. People can be so politically affected. We've heard so much about Russia's collusion and all that they've tried to do in our elections and all that. And people are trying to prove that they affected this and that. Did they? Well, you know, they probably did. As no doubt, we probably try to do the same thing to theirs, because they have spies over here and we have spies over there, and we just spy on one another. And that's sad, because that's the hour that we're living in. But we know that people are certainly affected by that. You know, the Viet Cong, they used it. It was a great thing. Propaganda, Titus used it. It's been used for centuries in order to be able to propagate what they want to affect the congregation or the minds of the people and get them to believe what they wanted to believe. How in the world could 6 million Jews, much less the Polish, all the others that were killed during World War II, how would they be able to do that and the world sit back and hold their peace? The propaganda of the Third Reich, of the regime, by which they were able to be able to project it to the people around the world, pick selected pictures, pick selected films and so on, project that to what they were doing, and the world sat by and let them annihilate millions of people. Is that right? How was it able to be done? Manipulate the minds of the people. As things was trickling out under the reign of the Third Reich, and people saying they're killing people, they're burning them, and they're putting in gas chambers, and they're cremating their bodies, and the world said, no, there's no way. This is going on. It can't be going on. This is the 20th century. How could that be happening? So how was I able to do it? Joseph Mengele, of course, one of the great propagandists of the Third Reich, was able to pick the certain videos and the certain things and be able to put it and pull the wool over the entire world's eyes. Well, you say that'll never happen again. No, it won't happen quite again like that. Next time it's going to be even worse. I said next time it's going to be even worse. It's not going to be so much against the Jews, but it's going to be against those who've missed the rapture and those who wind up in the tribulation period, the church. Let me just tell you this morning, friends, that will be the foolish virgin that do not assume the mark of the beast. That will also be message people who've sat around and played church. Some of you that attend this church, if you don't get on fire with God and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're going straight for the tribulation as sure as there's a God in heaven. You're not going to go in the rapture just because you say you believe God sent a prophet. You're not going in the rapture because you attend Happy Valley on the occasion. You're going to have to go in the rapture because you are filled with the Holy Ghost and born again. That's the only way you're going. I don't have a ticket to be able to hand out to each one of you to give you a token in the rapture. You're going because you're born of the Spirit of God. There will be thousands, no doubt, of message people that will wake up one day and realize they have played church. To me, they will be the worst category when the morning finally arrives and it dawns on them that they had missed the rapture. Whenever they look around and the pastor's gone and mama's gone and this one's gone and that one's gone, and they go to try to tell them the people of the world, and they're going to think they're absolutely nuts. They're not going to believe the rapture's taking place because their preacher's still here and the denominational people. How long will it take before some of the message people are able to convince these others? A week, a month, 6 months, that the rapture's finally come and they have missed it. I don't know, because I don't plan on being around. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost right now. And let me tell you something this morning, friend. I'm not waiting for the eclipse that's going to come in August. I'm not waiting for the solar pattern to come on September the 21st and strike over Jerusalem. I'm ready right now this morning. Not only that, but let me go on and say I live ready every day of my life. How many here is with me? You live ready. You don't have to wait to come to Sunday to get right with God. You stay right every day. And if you make a mistake and you do something wrong, you simply repent of it and ask God to take it out of your life. Because if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you know it could be at any moment. It could be at any time. Oh, Brother Donnie, I'm waiting for this sign and that sign. You'll never catch it. The bride does not live by such a way. The bride lives by love, not by looking for signs, not by reading a newspaper, looking for a new website that prophetically tells you when he's coming. Nobody knows when he's coming, but yet the Spirit of God in us will keep us aware and ready and alarmed. Amen. Do you believe it? The world wants to try to rock us to sleep and get us to where we're complacent and cold and indifferent and like the Laodicean sins. But for myself, I refuse to be cold in this hour. I refuse to be lukewarm. I'm going to be on fire. Why? Because I can be. I can be. I don't need a vote. I don't need an approval. I don't need none of your approval, and you don't need mine. If I want to be on fire with God, I can be on fire with God. If I want to be in love with Jesus Christ, I can be it, so I just think I will. Well, glory. I said I just think I will. There again, you see, that comes from the approach of your mind, of what you think you can be or what you want to be. If you desire to be lukewarm, certainly your desire, it's your option to be so. If you want to be complacent, you can be so if you desire. If you can desire to be it, I desire not to. Right, just as simple as that. Now, much of what we are is affected, of course, by the things that are around us. And as we look at the wedding night, you with the Song of Solomon and the Shulamite, we see he is creating by his love for her and the words that he's saying to her, words that will help pull her into an environment that will be conducive for that which he's leading up to. And this is the wedding night. So he must use his words faithfully, truthfully, but they must be creative. Now, remember, this man was a man of very great wisdom and understanding, and he had ability to be able to talk and think in a way that most mortals just don't do. You can tell by his words and by his parallels and things that he looked at of life. He was a man of such great understanding. Yet you can see through this in the act of condescension that he was talking to her in a way that she could relate. It wouldn't do any good to try to talk to her in a way of being a scientist or some kind of archaeologist or something that she didn't understand. So he talked to her in a way that would be able to help her to see what he
Esau in her. Now, as we looked at it last night, the way they looked in the Old Testament, even the New Testament for many hundreds of years, in a mirror was that the mirror was not glass like we have today. So they would take a glass, as Paul said there in 2 Corinthians, that we behold the glory of the Lord, and as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image. Now, he was using the symbolism of a mirror that would have been common era during this time, first century being the common era, and it would have been a piece of burnished metal, a piece that had been polished real bright, and as the sun would come down and hit that mirror, then the mirror would actually bend the light or refract the light, and as it would come back, it would shine upon the face of the person that was holding it. Now here Paul takes the same thing and says, as we behold the Lord and we look at the glory of the Lord, then it is bent and comes right back and shines upon us. This is a real believer. This is a real Christian. It's not something that we try to make ourselves. I'm trying to make myself a saint. You might as well give up on it because you'll never do it. I'm trying to make myself bride. That won't work either. You just have to be born again and let the glory of God shock the mirror and it shines upon your face. It is the radiance from his resurrection that he parts with his bride. Now in this, of course, the power of God is what brings this and makes it possible, because we certainly couldn't do it on our own. Solomon wants to do the very same thing to her in helping her to see her position and his love that he has for her. No doubt she's still nervous. She's still jittery. How in the world could she be married to the greatest king on the earth at this time? And we think the same thing. How could God have chosen us? Certainly not because of our looks, our money, our wealth, our ability to do this and that. But we were predestinated for him to be in his bride before the foundation of the world. I like to remind the devil of that every now and then. I like to remind the devil that he had a birthday. I like to let the devil know that there was a day that he was created. Everything that had a beginning will have an end. And because the devil had a birthday, he's got a doomsday coming. Amen. Amen. Thou was created perfect from the day that I created thee until iniquity was found in thee. Now, I'm not sure exactly how old the devil is. I wish I could give him a birthday cake on his birthday, because I would be celebrating with him that he is a creature of time. He is a creature of time. Oh, but let me remind him and remind you this morning, those of you that are born again, you are not creatures of time. You have stepped down from eternity into a body called time, but you're fixing to move back up again into that loop. Amen. And if the last leg is right now in the final phase where we're going back into eternity again with our blessed Lord. Now, what difference does that make? Is that important for us to think on? It is. Certainly it is, my friends. Paul tells us in Philippians, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever faithful, think on these things. Why? It does something to your phroneo, which is one of the Greek words used for mind. It is the way you look at things. It shapes the things about you. It shapes the way you live. Notice again, Paul says in Ephesians 4:22 that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Notice this in verse 24, that ye put on the new man. Now notice between verse 22 and verse 24. The old man is verse 22. Verse 24 is the new man. But verse 23 is what brings this to pass. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, he goes on to say, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love. I love the word that he uses for this, the like-minded. It is thinking the same of each other and not thinking that you are better than someone else. Oh my. And having a low esteem of yourself. So in other words, you don't look at yourself and you're a greater singer, you're a greater preacher, you're a greater, you know, whatever more. You're more holy, you're more this, that, the other. But to be like-minded. Well, praise the Lord. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, for only one mind. Again, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Again, he brings it into the same thing, that we do not look at ourselves that we are something superior to others who are of the same character and quality. Now, that's very hard, because some people that are more gifted in the natural sense, they tend to elevate themselves in a spiritual sense that they are better. Just just because a person has a lot of natural talent doesn't make them one bit better spiritually. As a matter of fact, I've seen a lot of folks with a lot of natural talent, they couldn't even live right because they so exalted their natural talent. Well, praise the Lord. I remembered in Pentecost, I thought I'd pass them days, but you come into the message and realize it's the same thing. Many times you find talented singers and talented musicians and talented preachers. That's some of the hardest ones to ever get them to really get live right, because they have so much to offer God and the world and everybody. So they're so high-minded in themselves, it's as if though they feel they are exempt from stringent requirements that God requires of all the rest of us. But let me remind you this morning, sweetie pie, you are required the same thing as the rest of us. Heads. You're required the same thing as those of us that are not near as gifted as you are. Your gift don't make you more holy. Your ability to preach don't make you no more closer to God. That makes you more responsible for something God's give you. Amen. Notice he says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Oh my. Now I realize a lot of folks say, I'm no good. I'm worthless. Why don't you shut your lying mouth? Most people that carry on like that don't believe that a bit more than nothing. You don't believe it and you ain't going to convince us. Good morning. Amen. Let each esteem others better. Better. Better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. Now this is what's important. Let this mind be in you. What mind? This mind I just read to you now. Now this is totally opposite of what Laodicea projects. Laodicea projects self. This is an age of self. Self-love, self-magnification. Whatever you want to do, do it. If it feels good, do it. Forget about your wife, forget about your mom and daddy. Just do whatever you want to do. This is an age of self. I'm glad it is, because out of this age of self, God is calling a self-denying bride. We are the contrast, amen. We are the contrast to the age of self. Oh my, thank you, Lord Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works. Now notice, you were alienated. The word alienated is lacking the intimate position with God. So you were alienated and enemies where? Not just in your soul, not just in your body, but you were enemies in your mind. Now let me tell you something, friend. If we were enemies in our mind against God originally, if you're not careful, that's where Satan will try to come and make you back an enemy against God now. Well, God done this and I don't understand it. God let my mama die. I don't understand it. Be careful what you allow in your mind. Satan will try to alienate you by making you an enemy. I don't understand this about the message and I don't understand that. And you better be careful and watch what he's trying to do. He will try to alienate you in your mind and you sitting right there in the church pew. Oh my, yet now hath he reconciled. Notice again Colossians 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not yet seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Again, Colossians 3:12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Again, humbleness of mind, bringing yourself down. Bringing yourself down, that you're not so super spiritual above everybody else. Most of them super spiritual ones that I've dealt with ain't nothing but troublemakers. They know more than the pastor does. They know more than the citizens do. They about know more than God does. Well, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Boy, if you got a sound mind in this age, you're blessed. Your pockets may look like that, but you're blessed. You may not have a nickel in your pocket today, but if you've got a sound mind, you're a miracle. We're living in an age of crazies. We're living in an age of absolute insanity. Isn't it wonderful you sit here today to have a sound mind? Just be in your right mind and closed. Notice how Peter relates to this. And remember, Peter was an ignorant and unlearned man and couldn't even write. Something got a hold of him, though, after he got the Holy Ghost, and it made him able to not only read, but also write and use some pretty persuasive words in writing. He said, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Now, this seemed like a very peculiar and strange statement. But to the Hebrews, the loins was a procreative power in the man's body. And from there, of course, come the ability for him to be able to reproduce himself. But Peter likens this, that like the mind itself is now the procreative ability of the individual's walk with God. Notice he said, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Now, this is a very strange statement to us because we don't gird up no more. But in this time frame, remember, they would have wore the long robes, both men and women. And if the men or the women was wanting to run, especially the men, and have to do hard, laborious work outside, they would take either a belt or a rope, and they would take and pull the long part of their garment up, and they would gird it up high with a belt or a rope. That would free them up in their limbs where they could run, where they could move a lot faster. And Peter is using the symbolism of our mind, how that our mind must also be girded up. So what do? We take up the excess thoughts, the thoughts that we don't need to even think that way anyway, and we gird up the loins of our mind. Now, here, of course, they would bring it up, and they'd bring it around this part of the body. So he's likening the intelligence or the mind as to having the ability. No, he don't say the Holy Ghost will do this. He don't say the pastor will do it, but he tells you as individuals to do it. Your mama can't do this for you. Your boyfriend, your husband can't do it for you. If anybody's going to gird up the loins of your mind, it's going to be you. Now, from your mind comes a procreative ability to be able to procreate your spiritual walk with God. The loins of your mind. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, my. Now, why does the mind then need to be renewed? Now, this is what Solomon is doing, of course, to the Shulamite. He is actually changing her mind. Now, this is a very delicate thing. I've had to do it many times as being a pastor. When you go to talking to people about things that they think is wrong, things that it's just tradition, basically, they were handed down to from the church they went to, from their mother, father, whoever more. And it's a very delicate thing when you walk into someone's conscience and you are manipulating what they think is right and wrong. That's very delicate and it must be done. But sometimes you got to break into their conscience and you have to take out that traditional something. It's almost like a conscience surgery. You've got to go into their conscience and pull out that traditional thing that they feel like is wrong, yet they have nothing in the word that says so, but mama, grandpa, grandma said it was. And you have to go in there and be able to remove that part from their conscience and replace that part with a truth from the word of God. Now, the delicate part about it is not only why you're in there during the surgery, but then after you leave and sew them up, then they will go home and they'll go to thinking in the other parts of the access of their conscience. Well, what about this? Is this wrong? Is that wrong? Is this wrong? I don't even know what's right and wrong anymore. Now, the power of that lays within us when we go to sorting it through. Why does our minds need to be renewed? Because they are constantly under an onslaught every day that we live in Satan's Eden. So the mind is programmed. Listen to me now. The mind is programmed by our parents, by our family, by our education, by our mentors, by the teachers, by the preacher, by the people we go to church with, by the people we fellowship with. So our beliefs, all of these things that are in us, they come from somewhere. Many of them are not the Word of God. Come on, church. Our thoughts, our ideas, our opinions about this and that and the other, and we hold them. Many times we hold it because of a family member. We hold it because of an association or a scar in our life. But it's buried so deep, we just know that it's got to be the truth. Not necessarily. It may be buried deep, very deep in your conscience, but that don't mean that it's right. And that's why when you go to operating on people in a very surgical type of way and to removing those things, they'll clamp up on you. You ain't getting not away from me, bless God. My grandma told me and my grandpa, go ahead, if you want to keep that brain tumor, go ahead and keep it. I'm trying to help you here today with a little bit of spiritual surgery, if you'll let me. No, Yeah, even prejudices and opinions and things that we have, they are molded. Now, come on, saints, don't tighten up on me. You know, folks live in the South, if they have a racial issue, I'll tell you what they need to do. They need to get saved and get the Holy Ghost. Any white man that don't love a black man's not born again. Any white man that don't love an American Indian or a Korean or a Japanese or whatever more, and he looks at himself and thinks that he's superior race, get rid of that old Hitler spirit off of you. Amen. Now let me go the other way. A black man or a black woman that don't love a white man, they need the Holy Ghost as well. That's right. What molds all this? It's prejudices and it's things that may be happening. There's no question about it. Many of the black people have suffered awful, terrible things at the hand of the white people. There is no question about it. But you realize, friends, my goodness, my great, 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 great grandfather might have done something back yonder, but I never enslaved no black man or no Indian or nobody else, and I have no plan on doing so. But what is it? They see a certain color. That prejudice raises up within them. And they be looking at a person that is totally innocent, that would never do them any harm. But it is embedded in their conscience. It is a prejudice. Wow, why am I going this way? It is a prejudice that is buried within them. There's deliverance here this morning for you. My goodness. Whoa, sir. I mean, you're just letting us have it today. Now, these things come from our parents, our grandparents, or things that have happened to us naturally, of course. No doubt this little Shulamite couldn't keep from having a prejudice about a king being a rich man, a man that was a wealthy man, a man that was up dikes, or whatever more they called him in that day. We have our slang for him today. People that would live in a certain style of house and drive a certain type of car and all that, we would have our certain little slang words that we would use for those people. And if you're not careful, the poor can have just as much prejudice toward the rich as the rich can toward the poor. Well, friends, I'm going to go ahead and preach this morning. I don't know. Hey, man. Lord, but anything that makes us where that is unlike Christ, God wants to help us to get rid of. And those things that form in us, that's what makes it so difficult then when we go to sorting through. Now, you'd imagine maybe she had some sort of a prejudice toward a person of renown, a person of wealth, a person like a king. What's he trying to do? Help her to get rid of that by bringing himself down on her level to be able to help her. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Can I go on? Thank you. Now remember, you asked me to do it. When two German universities joined forces to investigate social networking, researchers discovered that 1 in 3 people surveyed felt worse, lonely, frustrated, or angry after spending time smoking, drinking, committing adultery, sitting at the bar, on Facebook. Here we go. You all told me to go on. Often due to perceived inadequacies when comparing themselves to friends. Research also shows that Facebook can cause depression. Lord, have mercy, children. I've got enough in this world to cause it. Why would I want to add more to it? A recently published American Academy of Pediatrics paper made a major splash. That's what I'm fixing to make this morning. A major splash when it described Facebook depression. A condition said to result when tweens and teens spend too much time on social media, leading them to turn to substance abuse, unsafe sexual practices, and aggressive or self-destructive behaviors. By spending too much time on Facebook, this blessed, holy, righteous, holy grail of Facebook. I hope the man who made it can be saved. Poor guy. Well, I can tell right now which ones has got it. All y'all dried up on your amens. Look, friends, I didn't start preaching yesterday. Every one of you have body language. Some of you will amen what's going to your wife or your brother or your neighbor. When it comes to you, you enter into that serious mode of thinking. Don't you think I don't know you're guilty as a hound dog in a hen house? Just go ahead and amen the truth, even if you're guilty. Notice this, the more time adolescent girls spend on the social networking site, the more likely they were to develop eating disorders such as anorexia, bulimia, extreme dieting, Israeli researchers recently found. By being on Facebook, why? Because the mind. They look at the pictures of these girls and this and that and the other, say, well, I'm fatter than her. I'm more chubby than her. I don't look like that. I'm this and that and the other. And you say, that don't bother me. Don't tell me it don't bother you. You are a human being. Our bodies are not yet glorified. Our bodies are affected by such stuff. Why is it, friends, that we have such a stigma in our society about people that can have mental illness? People can have colon problems. People can have stomach problems. They can have all kinds of other problems. Most people ain't going to make fun of them. But if anybody has a mental sort of a situation, we ridicule them, we make fun of them, we laugh at them, and many times people are suffering. I'm not saying that they're insane now. They just have some sort of mental oppression or something mental going on. They hide it from their mother, they hide it from the church, they hide it from their very best friends. Why? Because people have such a stigma about it, and we tend to laugh on them. Shame on us. I said shame on us. Dear Jesus. Tomorrow when y'all get off from work, I'll be standing on the side of the interstate out there. We'll preach for food. And Carol will be kicked out of her houses. Oh my. Notice this. Exposure to online fashion and music content, as well as watching TV shows like Gossip Girl, were also associated with an increased risk for eating disorders. Facebook was referenced in 20% of divorce petitions processed in 29. Now, can you imagine how farther along it is beyond this time of this statistic? 20% of divorce petitions processed in 2009 by Divorce Online, a British law firm. Time magazine reported that feuding spouses used their Facebook pages to air dirty laundry. Let me just say, it ain't people in divorce that do that. It's church people. Church people getting on Facebook and airing church problems. Family, what in the world is wrong with people? So I perceive all you ameners don't have Facebook. And all you bug-eyed ones do. And you're trying to give me that fake smile. Come on, I can see right through you. You tell me not to have it? No! I'm not telling you not to have it, but I'm telling you, these are the risks that can be with it. Can it be used? It can be. Just like the internet, there's hardly anything in this generation that is a more damnable tool than the internet. But it depends upon those of you who use it. You and your smartphone, it's a shame that sometimes the smartphone's smarter than the person who packs it. Amen. But you can use a smartphone and an internet to contact and be able to do all kinds of things. But who's going to be the one to control it? That king sitting inside the throne of your heart. He'll keep you off them bad websites. He'll keep you off things you shouldn't be there. Why? Because we are living in the age of the mind. But it's not just the mind of Laodicea. It is the mind of Christ Jesus. Notice this. Time magazine reported that feuding spouses use their Facebook pages to air dirty laundry while their lawyers use posts as evidence in divorce proceedings. Oh, but it's all fun and games. Facebook is. Wake up this morning, saints. sexual health expert Ian Kerner, PhD, recently blogged on CNN that he's seen many relationships destroyed by Facebook bombs. So I figure the best way to avoid a Facebook bomb is give you a word bomb. People reconnecting with high school sweethearts or other blasts from the past. That can lead to emotional, if not actual, cheating. Oh, you say, I'm not doing anything. If you're not careful, you will develop an emotional relationship with somebody by texting or phone calling or Facebook. Don't you sit there and look at me big-eyed. It is satisfying you. It is gratifying you emotionally. You are getting something out of it. Lord, children, you better run from it. Don't let the world shape our mind. Oh, hallelujah. Let's be ready to leave this world and all this Laodicea garbage. Sweet Jesus. Recent research has shown that using social networking sites, namely Facebook, can increase people's stress levels. Oh my. Produce anxiety and negatively affect a person's sense of self. I already have enough of that to deal with. Look at it, friend. It's a snare. It's a trap for those who are addicted to this. They are looking for comfort. They're looking for something. And Satan is saying, come on, come on. And he pulls them right into it. And the very place they're looking for help and solace is the very thing that's going to destroy them. There's one place you can find the help and the comfort and the peace that you need in this age. That's Jesus Christ. Using these sites might even cause a person to develop a mental health disorder. Really, is this all worth it? Whoa. Some of y'all can't stand but church one time a week because you get beat to death. And you do this trash right here. You do this nonsense. You do this nonsense every day of your life. These are not preachers saying this. This ain't deacons. This is PhD and psychologists and all these people telling you the negative effect. And you will deal with the positive and negative things in it in order to gratify something and stay away from the house of God when you can be corrected by the word. Social media even has the power to quickly spread moods around the world. Well, glory. And so does the internet. But in a positive way, this same mood right here at Happy Valley has been spread around the world too right now. Because it's spreading two different kinds of moods. Some of y'all is making you in a good mood, some in a bad mood, and some of you ain't decided what mood you're in yet. So more than likely, it's spreading three kinds of moods around the world this morning. Oh my. Researchers found that when the participants increased their Facebook use, their state of well-being declined. And yet you're scared to death if you pick up a bottle and read on the side, may cause cancer. You brother stop to get gas and you reach and grab a hold of the handle and flip up the pump and select 87 or whichever one you're getting and you read that little warning sign, may cause cancer. You stand there, won't even breathe. I mean, you're hyperventilating. Hurry up, gas.
we're scared to death of cancer and putting stuff in us every day that's a million times worse.
Well, I guess I'll be the subject this evening on Facebook, won't I? Well, glory. Can you imagine? Researchers found that when the participants increased their Facebook use, their state of well-being declined. While those who increased the amount of time they spent with people face-to-face had an increased sense of well-being. Oh, my, praise be to God. Notice now the next part of this. It's addictive. Like anything that can distract us from stress, anxiety, and emotional pain, Facebook can be hard to stop using. Even as ironically it can be then cause more stress. Can't you see? Can't you see who's the father of this? Can't you see who's the founder of all this? Pulls people in to get them off of the worries and the baby bottles and the baby diapers and doing this, that, and the other. Go on Facebook, you know, just hang out a little bit and be able to get from the stress. And he's saying, come on in, get stress free. Come on in, vent yourself. Tell how you don't like Wednesday night. Tell how you didn't like the service today. Give vent to yourself. Don't worry, I ain't got a few but more pages on this. Then I'll get y'all to shouting again. Now that's what everybody wants, ain't it? Listen to this, friends. This is serious stuff. Facebook addiction disorder. A condition that is defined by hours spent on Facebook, so much time, in fact, that the healthy balance of the individual's life is affected. It has been said that approximately 350 million people are suffering from the disorder. The prophet of God said the army of the devil puts sickness and disease on people. The army of God sent to take it off. I not only pray for cancer, TB, kidney stones, I pray for folks with FAD. FAD? Facebook addiction disorder. That's what they're calling it. FAD. And it is a very great FAD. Some of the symptoms. Tolerance, this term is used to describe the desperate behavior of a Facebook addict. They spend an increasing amount of time on the site, coming to a stage where they need it in order to obtain satisfaction. Or on the other extreme, it has had a detrimental effect on them as a person. And their life. For the family members and friends who think they are dealing with an addict, don't nobody look. Don't nobody move or roll your eyes. Everybody look straight this way. So nobody wants suspicion. Nobody. A sign to look out for are multiple Facebook windows open. Three or four more confirms that they are indeed suffering from this condition. Withdrawal symptoms. They become obvious when one is restricted from using Facebook because they have to participate in normal, everyday activities. Like we all used to do. You know, just stuff that we all used to do. You ever watch folks in the restaurant when you're sitting there eating? Father's on his phone, mother's on her. All 14 kids have got a cell phone, all 14 of them's on their own phone. Do people even talk anymore? A doctor told me in Carroll not long ago that they are dealing with it in the medical field because people are losing the ability to be able to converse. Young people have lost the ability, many of them, to even apply properly on a resume to be able to get a job because everything is abbreviated text language. They can't even speak English no more. They can't even go, oh boy, we're going to keep right on going now. Y'all getting quieter and I'm going to get louder. If we're not careful, we become so that we're nothing but a generation of addicts. We're addicted to our cell phones. We're addicted to Facebook. We're addicted to gossip. We're addicted to all kinds of things. I would to God, some of us would get addicted to the Holy Ghost. Get addicted, oh hallelujah, to going to the house of God. Get addicted to prayer meetings. Get addicted to reading our Bible. We've got these smartphones and we got the Bible on them. Do we even read them anymore? Do we even care anymore? Or are we so wound up in the social media? Oh, children, let us get ready for the rapture. Common signs are anxiety, distress. They need to talk about Facebook and what might have been posted on their wall in their absence. Now, okay, this is all Greek to me, all right? I don't understand the first thing about it. But I can tell which ones are you all day. So people have to have it. Many people would give up their clothes on their back before they give up their phone. I wonder how many of you would be really surprised if you knew how addicted you were to it. You watch people get out of signal range. That stupid thing. I'm getting rid of that iPhone. Why did I ever get? I'm getting a droid. I'll tell you what. I hate these stuff. But it don't affect you, does it? Oh, children, if we pine for God that way. Brother Dad, if we long for God that way. If we hungered for God that way. If we hungered for to get back in church on Wednesday night. If a man alive that we have to dismiss on Sunday, that means we won't have church on Monday. We won't have church on Tuesday. And we got to wait all day long before we get to go back. Oh, I can't wait to get back to the house of God. Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, you can miss a Wednesday. You can miss a week. You can miss two. And it don't bother you at all. Why? You got your priorities wrong, friend. You're addicted to Facebook. You're addicted to your telephone. You're addicted to the things of the world. And you've not got a good Holy Ghost addiction to the power of God. You better change around if you're going to leave this world in a rapture. Goodness. If I knew it was going to be this hard today, I wouldn't have come to church. Reduction of normal social / recreational activities. Someone suffering from FAD will reduce the time spent catching up with friends, playing sport, or whatever it is they used to enjoy doing, to simply spend time on Facebook. Instead of catching up with a friend for coffee, they will send a Facebook message. A dinner plate will be substituted with a messenger chat. Oh boy. Hound dog in the hen house look all over his church this morning. In extreme cases, a person will even stop answering their parents' phone calls, instead insisting they use Facebook to contact them. Fake friends. If 8 out of 10 people shown on their Facebook page are complete strangers, it is undeniable they have a serious case of FAD. Uh-oh, we better call 911 right now. The longer I go, the worse it's getting in here. Fevers, high blood pressure, passing out. It's passing out. It's coming over the congregation right now. Lord, children. complete addiction. When they meet new people, they say their name followed by, "I'll talk to you on Facebook." Or those who are extremely bad, "I'll see you in Facebook." What is it? It is a world that is unreal, but to them, they are so addicted. Amen. They will see them in Facebook. Don't you see there's a parallel to this? When we can get that addicted to Jesus Christ and we tell him, "I'll see you in Happy Valley on Sunday morning, Lord. I know you're going to be there. I know your presence is going to be there. I'm going to bring you with me, but Lord, I know I'm going to meet you there." Their pets have Facebook pages. Now that's something I want to say. A dog on Facebook. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of two-legged ones. I'm talking about them four-legged guys. Can't you just see a Doberman Pinscher sitting there now doing whatever it is they do on Facebook? Their pets have Facebook pages, and any notifications, wall posts, inboxes, or friend requests that they receive give them a high. Listen, children. Listen. Then when they are contact, I'm talking about addicts, it actually releases to them an endorphin from the brain that produces high. It lifts them. It helps them. Maybe they're down. They're feeling low. And every chirp or beep or whatever more, it actually gives them a surge. It's only momentarily, but it's a high, a temporary high. One which can be compared to the gambling addicts that get from the pokies or the roulette table. Studying the brains of Facebook addicts, they found the same part of the brain that reacts. Now, they took individuals and put them through MRIs, put their phones in there. They couldn't access it, but they could hear the chirps. They could hear their whatever them signals are, whatever the, y'all understand what I'm talking about, whatever it was. And they would watch the brain of this person. They could not even see it, but they would flash before them Facebook symbols and flash before them certain things. And each time they would do it, their brain would react. But the difficult part about it was the same part of the brain that reacts to a heroin addict. Praise the Lord. Facebook, very beneficial in some ways, is having detrimental effect on the everyday behaviors of people around the world. When an individual's online life becomes more important than the real one, we know that there is a serious problem that needs to be addressed. Now, why does our mind then need to be renewed? Because we've got all this stuff out there. There's so many ways that we can be contacted. And there's so many ways that we can contact. It's amazing to me. We can contact the same people 13 or 14 different ways. Tweet them or quote them or twat them or, and then Facebook them and then message them. And then, why do you need all them things for the very same person? I mean, maybe I'm dense or something. I don't know, but there isn't one enough of the very same one unless you got a girlfriend on the side. Why would I want to tweet Brother Skip and text Brother Skip and call Brother Skip and video message Brother Skip and be able to do all that to the same person? After all, he's going to think I'm nuts unless he's as nuts as I am. So what in the world's going on? It's to fill up our lives and our mind with all of this other chatter of the world to break our divine fellowship with Almighty God. Notice Solomon in Proverbs 23:7 said, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are, oh my, are of a just and of a pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Romans 12:2, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, oh my, that you may prove, this is the same word used for metals, and being able to prove the strength, the density of metals, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Isn't this more important than the things I hear the world? Hey, Brother Don, are you saying I'm wrong to have Facebook? I'm not saying it at all. I'm saying it's how you use it. Or let me rephrase it, how it uses you. Praise the Lord. I know there's going to be a whole line of people standing up on the outside and won't take me for lunch today. After this tremendous, wonderful, sweet sermon. And well, nobody won't take us out, honey, for 5 years. As Brother Kenneth used to say, after this, I'm burnt. You see, the sense is that a renewed mind is absolutely essential to finding the will of God. How can a person who has their mind and their spirit all filled with all these things of the world out here and ever find the will of God for their life? Especially if you're posting on Facebook that you're finding, trying to find the will of God for this, that, and other. Get ready for a deluge. It's amazing to me how people can always tell you and I to find the will of God, and they ain't had it in 47 years, but they can tell you how to find it for your life. They can tell you in 5 seconds the perfect will of God for your life. No, thank you. I'll just seek it out between me and God myself. A heart with love. A heart that is pulled away from the things of the world. Can you use these things? Of course we can. Can we be able to use the internet? We can. You know, there's some brothers in the message that preach the internet as the mark of the beast. Yeah. And anybody that has the internet in their home has the mark of the beast. Well, I'll preach the same thing if you can show me where the Bible or the prophet of God said such a thing. Come on now. It is a means by which we're able to use it. The very first quote in the message, Faith is Acceptance, 1947. Our brothers, he said, have got some new recording machines. The very first quote in the entire message that is recorded is Brother Branham attributing to the advancement of science and what they've been able to do to make the messages more available. Are you glad for the tape recorder in this day? It was not an invention of the Holy Ghost. It was an invention by man ordained to be used for the saints of God. Are you glad when you cannot be a church that you're able to stream? If you stay home and stream and you could be a church, I hope your streamer blows a hole in your sheetrock. God never intended for you to stay home and you'd beat the house of God, but it can be used in the right way. Aren't you glad for your cell phone? Aren't you glad for those things that can be used in the right way? But God wants us to use them as sane, sensible people. I think I'll close. I got about 29 more pages and quotes and scriptures, but we'll resume it next week. I mean, that is if I still have a job. Brother Phil, you doing any hiring, buddy? Oh, my friends. Don't you want to be what God wants you to be? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May God help us. To me, it'll be a greater age to overcome than any age it's ever been. Can you imagine Peter and Paul and them first century Christians been able to step out of that age, if they could be on the curtain of time and in a mortal body step into this realm and look and see what we have to deal with every day? They would be so overwhelmed. Can you imagine your grandmother, your great-grandmother, being able to stand up and look and see, think, how do you all do it? When do y'all ever have time for prayer? Of course, they plowed the fields from sunup to sunset. They milked the cows. They cleaned out the barns. They had a whole lot more to do.
How is it they had time left over to pray and seek God? Most of you may be working an 8-hour day, but it's all them other hours that you fill with so many other things. Oh my. Mama. Can we hear him this morning as he is pulling us up close to him, wanting to take his words and reshape our thinking? Young girls, young men, be careful who, what friends you make in them chat rooms.
Amen.
There are young ladies every week that are killed because they meet some renegade in a chat room and go off somewhere and meet him and he slits her throat. Don't you do such stuff. Go off to meet somebody you've never even met before. What's wrong with people? What is it, friends? It's insanity. Do you understand? That insanity is creeping in our churches. People are doing things they wouldn't even have thought of doing years ago. Why? They're becoming desensitized. This is a friend on my chat wall. This is, really? How do you know? And you parents would let them do it? Oh my. Oh my. I'll have hell to pay for this. I know that. Let's just bow our heads together if you would. Heavenly Father, I know this has been difficult today, but I absolutely refuse to bring reproach upon you, your spirit, and what you led me to say by apologizing. I am not going to do it. I pray, Lord, that you'd deal with every heart here today. I know many of them don't have Facebook. They're not involved in the addiction part of it and all that. Some of them use it in the right way. They use it with restraints. But Lord, may this be a warning to those who do that. Lord, then others of us that don't even have Facebook, may we realize just because we don't have that don't mean that we're not being an onslaught from other avenues. Sometimes it's living with a friend. It's living with a daughter, a mother that's constantly feeding us constant negativity, constant negative things, reshaping our mind. Help us, Lord Jesus. We know, Lord, by living in your presence, feeding on your word, you will shape us into that image. As the light of the sun shines upon the burnished mirror, the brighter it shines, the more of its glory can shine upon us. Truly, this is our desire today. Each of us have so many mistakes and so many faults. We're faulty people. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us of our shortcomings. Help us, Father, to use all these things off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Sanely, sensibly. Praise God. Lord, I thank you for many of them. They've been such a tremendous blessing. Lord, I remember years ago, whenever Brother Neil Holland and some of the earlier pioneers that was going to put the message and make it available where we could search it. Seemed like a dream back years and years ago. Yet, Lord, saints right here in this church, saints up in the church in Lyman, different places, were able to listen and type down. Lord, put all the message, to be able to put it in a software. Now it's around the world. In a moment of time, we can type in a few words. It's on our phones. I use it almost daily, sending quotes to brothers and to encouragement. What a blessing. But that same phone of mine could be able to look at all kinds of filth and all kinds of nonsense. And even if it wasn't sexual, sinful stuff in that way, it could be all kinds of negativity and running people down and whatever more. Lord, I've got enough to deal with. I want to feed on things that are pure, holy, and just. that my mind can be renewed. I can't go to Lowe's or Walmart, Father, hardly a time without seeing or hearing something that is adverse to the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help each of us to know that being born again is a one-time thing. Renewing our mind is a daily, constant, ongoing process. Paul mentioned that we change from glory to glory. We know that that is gradual. It is progressive. As we are changed and washed and our minds are renewed, so we move from glory to glory. May the people look today and see. May they ask themselves, am I really growing in God? Am I excelling in God? Have I moved in glory since 5 years or have I regressed? No doubt. If they answer, they're not where they used to be or they're not where they need to be. No doubt if they would look at their mind and see what they're thinking on, they will find the connection. Lord Jesus, help us. Let this mind that was in you be in us, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Minister to your people today, Father, the visible audience, invisible audience. Lord, I know the effects of this will ripple around the world. May the Spirit of God help each of us to hear it in the right spirit and attitude that it was given in, Lord. If there's anyone guilty here today, no doubt there must be some somewhere. You'd have never put it on my heart. Then I pray that you would help them. Help them to break that addiction. Use it, Lord, as these things off the tree of knowledge of good and evil can be used. As we go to hospitals and we use glasses and contacts and medication and AIDS and this and that and the other that's been given to us. But we use them sensibly. May we use these tools that Satan has so injected into this age the same way. If the saints would use Facebook in the proper way for prayer requests and testimonies and good things like that, it could be a great thing. The Lord, I heard the other day of a church, not near us, but a church in another state. And the members of that church was fussing back and forth on Facebook about things that was going on inside the church. And even sinners responding saying, I thought you all were Christians. I thought you all were saved. So instead of handling them problems as they ought to in the backyard, they pulled it right in the front yard and put it right there before them unbelievers. Help us, Lord Jesus, to realize we will be held accountable for such things. Those believers in that church will be held accountable for bringing a reproach upon that pastor in that church. Help us, Lord Jesus, I pray. We love you, Father, with all of our hearts. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Don't you love him today, children? Amen. Oh, isn't God so good to us? Isn't he so good? My. So good. Hallelujah. So good. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Brother Dave Swanson, would you come and sing the song for us? It is well with my soul. Let's sing a little bit before we go, can we?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
When peace like a river attendeth my way.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Oh, when sorrows like billows roll, oh, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. Oh, my sin, not in part, but the whole. Yes, it's
Wednesday night.
Certainly it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. As he was saying last night, if you can't read Jesus Christ in every verse, as Brother Branham talked about Christ the mystery, if you can't read Jesus in every verse, go back and read it again because you missed something. The whole Bible, it's all about redemption, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that name. No other name under heaven whereby men must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ. It means so much to us. Actually, I got to crying last night. Forgive me for taking just a second. I got to crying last night. Brother Donnie talking about the name of Jesus. They don't want to worship Jesus anymore. And I remember my little son Dallas, when he was little, retarded, autistic. He had to wear glasses when he was real little. Just put contacts in him. Couldn't keep him. Glasses in him, on him, contacts and so forth. And we knew something was wrong with him. But then they told us that he was deaf. He'd be deaf. And I'll never forget, I see my lovely little wife, she'd cry. She said, how it just broke her heart. He'll never hear the name of Jesus if he's deaf. But then I found out later he wasn't deaf. But just to think he would never hear the name of Jesus because they thought he was deaf. Brother, that's the greatest name I know of. Amen. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, not only that I have the natural hearing to be able to hear the name of Jesus, but Lord, I have the spiritual hearing to be able to hear the end time message and Jesus restored back. The truth, the revelation of Christ. Christ's a mystery of God revealed. We're so thankful, Lord, for what you brought to us this morning. Bless your servant for giving it to us. Lord, I just pray that we could take it in, that our lives would be renewed every day, our minds, the renovation of our minds, taking out the old, putting in new. Grant it, Lord. Bless your children as we're dismissed, Lord, never from your presence, but Lord God, until we meet back again the next morning time, appointed time. Keep your children, Lord, and may we grow closer to thee. We ask in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Take the name of Jesus with you.
It is well with